When breaking news this morning, US President Trump says he's cancelled all planned strikes against Iran, claiming that discussions with the Iranian regime have been brought to the highest level of Iranian leadership and approved. He also says the naval blockade of Iranian ports will, quote, remain in full force and effect. Meanwhile, Iran's foreign ministry says Iran will not compromise on its red lines. That's according to the country's semi-official outlet, Tasnim News Agency. So, where does this leave the conflict and peace negotiations? Joseph Votel is a retired US four-star general and a former commander of US Central Command. I spoke to him a short time ago. General Votel, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
It's good to be with you. Thank you very much.
Well, why has Donald Trump halted these strikes now? How do you assess the timing of this move?
Well, I think what the president is trying to do is he's trying to use kind of a combination of course of military power and to move the negotiations forward. So I think he's very keen to, you know, to use the military power when he needs to try to get to some type of agreement.
What are these situations like for military commanders when things have been going backwards and forwards? You're ready to launch further strikes, then you're not, then tension increases again. What's it like dealing with that kind of tempo?
Yeah, well, it can be disruptive because it takes time to prepare forces and everybody wants to be ready and they're on the edge and then they kind of step back. But the good thing is they're led by very professional military officers and non-commissioned officers who have the ability to kind of help manage all of that. So I think it's something we have to be aware of. But, you know, it can be a little bit chaotic, I think. But for the most part, I think it's being managed well right now.
What do you think has been the biggest military lesson so far for the United States from this conflict?
Well, I think there's several. I mean, obviously, we've done a lot of damage to their missile and drone capability, but yet they still have the ability to launch missiles and drones. And those, obviously, they're not overly effective, but they are able to use them and use them in kind of a horizontal fashion, meaning they can go after a variety of different locations and countries. So I think that's something that we've kind of learned out of this as well. Of course, the drones themselves, the use of autonomy has been a huge lesson. And then I think the last has been the importance of the Straits of Hormuz. The Iranians have been pursuing a nuclear weapons program, but I think what they have recognized, and certainly what we knew going into this, was that their ability to leverage the Straits of Hormuz has given them a significant strategic advantage.
Why do you think, with the US military capabilities, that it has been unable to take full control of the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, I think it's important to appreciate that the U.S. military could. Ultimately the decision to do that is a decision by our civilian leaders and by the commander in chief, President Trump, in particular. And he has not yet been willing to dedicate the force to do that. Undertaking a mission like that is significantly resource intensive. There likely will be opposition once it's open. We'll have to secure it. So I think he recognizes once you step into that, you're in it for a long term. And so I think what he has attempted to do is try to use things like the blockade and by diplomacy and by some other coercive military operations to try to resolve the situation and in doing that to open up the strait. But the military, the U.S. Navy and the military has the capability to do this. It's just a function of making a policy decision to actually do that.
Do you think that's widely understood?
No, I don't think it is. There has not been a great amount of communication publicly about these options and about what the trade-offs are. So, you know, retired folks like me and others try to get on and explain that. But there very clearly is a trade-off here that probably the most of the American public and probably the international community doesn't fully appreciate.
So would the issue be not so much taking the strait but holding it?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, given that Iran, still has some capabilities, they've been able to launch missiles and drones. The expectation would be that as if we did that forcibly, that we would have to be prepared to defend against that over a long period of time. And of course, they have the advantage of being able to try to interdict that almost any time they want. And so we would have to not only put military forces in the strait to open it up and keep it open, but we'd also have to have military forces that are going after potential missile and drone locations and other things to keep those suppressed. So it becomes a very significant long-term operation that, while we have the forces to do that, the challenge becomes the sustainment of keeping it open, and then, of course, eventually turning it over to somebody else or getting it back to kind of a normal level of operation. And really, is not there, taking it militarily doesn't solve that part of the problem either.
So when you're looking at overall air, sea and land forces, what kind of force size would it take to open up the strait and hold it?
Well, I think there's a variety of options, Sally. I mean, I think what most people would generally conclude, military professionals that think about this, about 15 to 20 destroyers, capital ships that would be out there, certainly a carrier strike group that with its capabilities would be involved with that. We would need to have Marines embarked on ships that is kind of a response force. And then over the top of that, we'd have to have United States Air Force, fighter jets providing combat air patrol and doing strikes to kind of protect the maritime force with all of that. And then, of course, we'd have to have U.S. Army air defense systems that are across the region, at alert and focused on being prepared to defend against any counterattacks that might come from Iran as a result of these military operations. So I think what I'm painting to you is that this isn't just a Navy problem. This is a joint force problem. It'll take resources from all of our services to do this right and to hold it open. And that bill would be pretty significant.
General, thank you very much for making some time. Thank you.
Good to talk with you.